God and country? Do they always go hand in hand? Kingdom of God allegiance, patriotic allegiance? How do we work these things out?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question for you. Do you think the early disciples had a vision or bird of making Rome great? Or maybe if Rome was on the decline after a while, let's make Rome great again. Or would you say, no, they were in this world, but not of it. They were living for God, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and seeking to make disciples, and they did not have a nationalistic mentality. Or let's say believers living in communist China in the height of persecution, was their prayer, let's make China great again? Or were they seeing themselves as people of the kingdom of God intersecting with this world and yet not primarily Chinese citizens, primarily heavenly citizens? Was that their mentality? What about us in America? We talk about things like bringing America back to God. We talk about rebuilding the nation. We talk about making America great again. Are those things fully compatible with the gospel? Are those things in harmony with the gospel? Do we have any type of conflict between God and country? This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire. It is a delight to be with you today, and we're going to explore these issues of patriotism and the kingdom of God. When do they intersect? When are they at crosshairs, or I should say at loggerheads one with another? At what point do we compromise our allegiance to God by being patriotic? At what point are we truly patriotic because of our allegiance to God? What should our attitude be? What should our attitude be to the flag? Yes, the flag. We had some lively discussion yesterday regarding Colin Kaepernick's decision to sit out the national anthem, quote, until things change, with his focus on police brutality. And I said I admired his courage. Others said it takes no courage whatsoever. But I said I admired his courage, but questioned his judgment. I am all for challenging America. I am all for calling our nation to account whenever it is necessary to do so. I'm all for that. I believe it's our role as the church to do that, to be, in the words of Martin Luther King, the moral conscience of the society. At the same time, I absolutely oppose a certain radical mentality that in many ways is fundamentally anti-American, that in many ways rejects anything that's made our country great over the years, or most of the foundational things that make our country great over the years. And because of that, I take issue with the nature of the protest, not raising issues, not saying there's still racial injustice in America, but I take issue with focusing on police brutality as, say, a major issue. Yes, an issue, but certainly if I was giving a top 10 list, it's not in the top 10 in terms of real major issues in America, despite the way things get played on the media. I believe there are larger issues of racial injustice that need to be examined. But my issue is when you do things in a way that seems fundamentally anti-American. And do you know that Colin Kaepernick's mother is not happy, his birth mother? She's not happy with what he did. And do you know what the Black Lives Matter website says about the nuclear family that we're used to here in America? We're going to take that up, but you get to weigh in today, 866-348-7884. Should we have the same attitude the disciples did in Acts, who asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel before Jesus ascended to heaven? Are you saying you're comparing apples with oranges? America's not Israel. It's not a theocracy. We'll take all that up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us. We are going to talk about patriotism in the kingdom of God. We're talking about our allegiances. Should we say God and country? Is that how it goes? God and guns and country? And that's our allegiance? Or is our allegiance to God going to put us at loggerheads with allegiance to our country? How do these things work out? When Muhammad Ali refused to be drafted to fight for America as a black Muslim, he was obviously being true to his convictions. And by the way, that to me was a massively more courageous thing than what Colin Kaepernick did. Muhammad Ali, in the prime of his boxing career as one of the greatest athletes of all time, and perhaps one of the best-known athletes in the world, or maybe even the best-known athlete in the world at that time, to tremendous personal and financial loss, would not step forward to fight in the Vietnam War. Now, of course, I deplore so much of the teaching of black Muslims. Of course, I disagree fundamentally with Islam. And yet what he did was a tremendously courageous thing, and he suffered greatly for it. In fact, was found guilty immediately. I don't believe that was right that he was found guilty first. In other words, he was stripped of his title immediately, as opposed to, okay, let this be properly investigated and let's see what his legal rights are and what his heavyweight championship responsibilities require, etc. So I have no problem saying an athlete did something courageous. And look, the Vietnam War, tremendously controversial, and we were hardly even there to win, sadly enough, which makes the loss of life all the more terrible and tragic. Now, I know that there were black men and women who fought in World War I and fought in World War II, despite living in the midst of segregation and things like that. They said, hey, we're still fighting for our country, and that's tremendously admirable. But there are ways of doing things that produce more harm than good. There are things that join us with not a kingdom of God higher spirit, but an anti-American lower spirit. Follow what I'm saying? And in other words, I will stand with anyone who is standing for justice, truly, but not someone who has their own agenda that is ultimately an unjust agenda or a questionable agenda or a radical, unproductive agenda. 866-348-7884. Heidi Russo, Colin Kaepernick's birth mother, who gave him up for adoption, said this on Twitter: there's ways to make change without disrespecting and bringing shame to the very country and family who afforded you so many blessings. That's Heidi Russo. And then let me get to this. Eagles linebacker Mike Tavares was going to sit out the anthem as well. But then he said this, plays for the Philadelphia Eagles: I want to apologize for the distraction I've been to all of Eagle Nation. I feel passionate about racial issues going on in our country, and I thought that sitting during the national anthem would bring more awareness to this issue and encourage more constructive discussion to find solutions. But I feel I only made things worse. I want to make change in this world, but sitting down during the national anthem just isn't the best way to do it. With that being said, I do plan on finding a better way. I'm young, and I still have a lot to learn about saying and doing the right thing. For now, I will stay focused on football, but I will definitely look for opportunities to do what I can to prevent injustices. I'm so blessed to be an American. I just feel a responsibility to do what I can to make things better. I don't know him at all, but that gains my respect right there. That massively gains my respect. Yes, he put the statement out through his agent. How much of it did he write? That's secondary to me. That's what he once said. That's what he's standing behind. And he's saying, hey, I've got a responsibility to my team, and I distract it from the team. That's not why I'm here. And NFL, football, college as well, other levels, it's an intensely team-oriented sport with tremendous dependence on every player to do their part and not be a distraction. So he's saying, yeah, I want to bring awareness to the issue, but there are better ways to do it. Even says, I'm young, I have a lot to learn. That's, you humble yourself and you get lifted up. I mean, that to me is something commendable, to have that attitude, to say those things in that way. But again, to me, I can be loyal to God and patriotic to a certain level, but my ultimate allegiance is still going to be to the kingdom of God. And if that means standing against something in my nation, I have to do that. Now, I believe ultimately, to the extent that we honor God, America will be blessed. And our nation was founded on many Judeo-Christian principles. And from day one in our nation, as a nation, there was opposition to slavery and controversy over it. And this was something inherited from Great Britain and ultimately abolished. And yes, there have been ongoing racial injustices through our history. And yes, the treatment of the American Indians continues to be a genuine issue and concern that has never been righted. I'm not arguing with any of that. And even as of yesterday, so many God-fearing, respectful African-American listeners have called this show and told me about what they face, the injustices they face to this day as Black Americans. And I take them totally seriously, totally seriously. And those are conversations we're going to continue to have here on the Line of Fire to raise awareness. And yet, there are things to me that are fundamentally destructive, anti-American, as opposed to a loyalty to our country because we are loyal to God, because of which we must stand against certain things in our country, knowing that to the extent America turns, America can be blessed and great. And to the extent America doesn't turn and do the right thing, America will not be blessed and great. All right, one more point, and then I'm going to take your calls. All right, this was sent to us by a listener, much appreciated, and it is from the Black Lives Matter website. And when you click on Black Villages, this shows you one of their goals. I'm looking at it from the link on the website, and it says this, quote, "We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure required by supporting each other as extended families and, quote, villages that collectively care for one another and especially, quote, our children to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. We are committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement." This is a group with a lot of radical views and ideas. There are African-American women across the country who have said, yes, Black Lives Matter, may America feel that more deeply, that are not affiliated with that movement. But if it is true that Colin Kaepernick recently converted to Islam and that his fiance is a leader, a Muslim, and a leader in Black Lives Matter, then that would further explain why his actions were so inappropriate, although he does well to draw attention to true racial injustice where it does exist. I believe he pointed to a fairly weak example overall. To the phones we go, 866-34-TRUTH. We start in Mike in Manalapan, New Jersey. What's the right way to pronounce where you live?
Manalapan, New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. I knew I had the accent slightly off. Yes, go ahead, sir.
When you opened your show concerning make America great or make Rome great or something, I want to go specifically to what Donald Trump, when he was asked about when did he think America was great, and he referred to around 1900 and then shortly after World War II was over, because manufacturing and other things. But it's like that was a time when there was no integrated schools, integrated neighborhoods. There was Jim Crow. There was a lot of things that were terrible. And so that to me is not America great. In God's view, none of the nations are great. They're all like a drop of water on a pail. But a nation can be better, like we were in the Civil Rights Movement, or shortly after 9/11, where we came together to view all human life as being valuable and being precious. I disagree with Colin Kaepernick. He's not choosing the right venue to make his his youth known. He's not like Muhammad Ali, where he's having a personal sacrifice by going to jail.
Yeah, and he's got a hundred something million dollar contract, right?
Yes, and I would say he's a young guy like the Philadelphia Eagle linebacker, but the Philadelphia Eagle linebacker has recognized, you know what, there's better ways to do this, and our nation has made a lot of progress. Okay, there are police officers who are being killed. Anger is never a prognosis for.
Yeah, or that prognosis. I think you meant to say the remedy, the answer. All right, hey, thank you for weighing in. Want to get back with our other callers on the other side of the break, so we had to jump in. But you can hear that music.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to your calls momentarily. I find this so, so interesting. Some people were critical of a meme posted on Facebook yesterday. Ken said this: Dr. Brown, it's a shame that you're offended by a guy who's refused to stand up for the national anthem. National anthem is not a ticket to heaven. Nationalism has become your god. Dear brother, you couldn't be more wrong. How many times, sir, have you gone overseas and apologized for things Americans have done? How many times? Just out of curiosity. How many books have you written that called for deep repentance in America? How many hundreds of hours, thousands of hours have you spent focusing on calling America to repentance for American sin and grieving over our nation and saying we're under the judgment of God? If nationalism is my god, sir, I wouldn't be doing that. Perhaps my issue with Colin Kaepernick is far more nuanced than you realize, sir. Daniel said this coming from the man who loves to speak out about anti-Semitism, but yet can't seem to recognize the same thing going on here against black people. Sir, where have you been? How many broadcasts have you listened to? How many articles have you read? My very article about Colin Kaepernick, where I talk about the very real injustices that do exist. Where have you been, sir? Are you just basically on one meme? Another, Siegfried, you can't protest unless you're a victim of it, according to Dr. Brown. No. Where did I say that? I'm told I can't take issue with it unless I'm a victim of it. I can't take issue with a position unless I'm a victim of that same position. I mean, that's a weird concept. You can only speak out if you're directly persecuted. If you stand with those being persecuted or mistreated, you can't speak out. That's odd. No, he can speak out all he wants. I'm just saying he's hypocritical. That's all. Of course you speak out even if you're not a victim. You stand with victims. So I've got no problem with people differing with me. It's when they 100% miss the point of what I am saying. That's my issue. And they miss it quite willfully because we post things day and night dealing with all these issues in a righteous way before the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. All my friends in Brooklyn and greater New York, you have September 8th on your calendar. You're going to meet me September 8th in Brooklyn for a special talk I'll be giving on Isaiah 53, the rabbis and the Messiah. And then we're going to do live Q&A. It's going to be a meet and greet for our Line of Fire listeners in greater New York listening on WMCA. Admission is free. Put it on your calendar. Thursday, September 8th. All right. And then put on your calendar Saturday, September 10th, Manhattan. Yeah, we're going to be in the heart of New York City. Come from all over, our friends in Jersey, all over the New York area, Island, come in for that event. I'm going to be doing a talk on the political candidates in Israel. Oh, yeah. And then taking live Q&A and doing a meet and greet there as well. These are special rallies for our New York Line of Fire listeners. 866-34-TRUTH. We go now to Montgomery County, Maryland. Patrick, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
So, I mean, my only comment is that, you know, just like with Muhammad Ali's situation at the time, a lot of people felt like, you know, this is not the right venue for this type of thing at that moment. And we look back and, you know, hindsight's always 2020, but we celebrate Muhammad Ali and what he did And I think that we can be in danger of making similar mistakes, you know, nowadays. And I think that, you know, approaching it from a spiritual perspective is a little bit dicey because, you know, Colin Kaepernick is not right now standing, unless I missed something, for some spiritual standpoint or Christian tenets. And so I think it's hard to kind of mix the two. You kind of have to take it on the merits of what he's saying.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is that there's injustices, which I think we all can agree on. And the fact that we're talking about it now, I think, says a lot about what he did.
But let me ask you this, Patrick. I fully respect what you're saying. Haven't we been talking about this day and night for months now, for even a couple of years now? Since in particular, the Michael Brown shooting in Ferguson, and
right.
Regardless of what happened, who was right or wrong on that, I don't think hardly a week's gone by where we haven't had issues about this or another video, you know, a shooting here or something. So I do believe we have been talking about it. And, you know, I was raising a couple of different issues together, Patrick, one being how we relate to the flag as Christians. And when I take issue with what he did, like those quotes, I get attacked as if I'm Mr. Super Patriot. And, you know, that's my whole thing, which I'm not. I appreciate our country. But the other thing is I think there are other ways to draw attention to an issue. And then for him to make the whole focus on police brutality, then to misstate things. You know, there are black officers around America saying, hey, come and sit in my walk in my shoes for a week, buddy. And you know, the trauma that we live through if someone is shot and, you know, the investigations and, you know, just go through all the stats, you know, that it's even been documented that black cops are more likely to shoot black suspects than white cops are. And then you've got all these other issues. To me, there's so many bigger things. I think the court system is a bigger issue. The sentences that African Americans receive. I think the way that the welfare mentality put forth by the Democrats puts many African Americans in a decimated position. I think there are larger issues we need to address as a nation, and better ways to do it. But I respect what you're saying. And back to you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, thanks for letting me share with you guys, but I think that, you know, there's a large majority, I think it's safe to say, of the African-American community is feeling very hurt and oppressed by what's going on in our country. And so when you see African-Americans speak out against that, I think as Christians, it's more of a calling to be loving and compassionate in those moments. And we can disagree with the venue, but I've just noticed that we always find nuances to nitpick. And I'm not saying this is exactly what you're doing, but it's a pattern that I've noticed of where we can look at the nuances of the situation rather than just being like, you know what, this is my brother, this is a fellow human being, and they're going through a lot of pain right now, and I need to try to be understanding, even if I don't even necessarily agree.
And Patrick, you know? You must be, well, I remember three specific calls just like this, but probably more, where the main call was for empathy. That was the main call. So, but let me just give you the other side of it. When we don't believe that the hands up, don't shoot thing actually happened, that that's a misstatement of what happened and that the officer actually fired in self-defense and that the hands up, don't shoot thing was actually a lie. When that's the big case presented, then immediately, and then you have, say, you know, an Al Sharpton or a Jesse Jackson is not going to use that for a certain thing. You're always going to get a reaction to that as opposed to when you have something that's a legitimate issue of injustice or violence. And that's so with Colin Kaepernick, if it's correct, he's recently converted to Islam and his fiance is a radical member of Black Lives Matter. Then you're getting that kind of pushback. So I am 100% with you in shouting from the rooftops, even if what he did is wrong, let us continue to talk about racial injustice. Absolutely. And let us recognize the pain that our black brothers and sisters are experiencing to this day. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And I'll then differ with Colin Kaepernick as I do. Thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question. I've got a question for all of you dear listeners. All right, 866-348-7884, about to go back to the phones. But I've got a question for all of you, my dear listeners. All right, here's the question. I am willing to have my blind spots exposed. I am willing to have my viewpoints challenged. I am willing to have my perspectives expanded. Are you willing to have those things in your lives as well? In other words, can you say to me, Dr. Brown, I believe you're missing something here. You need to consider XYZ. Mike, I think you're off base here. Would you consider this? And I say, yeah, uh-huh, thank you. Let me chew on it. Or good point. All right, I see what you're saying. Are you willing to have me do that for you? Because unless we can have the conversation, you might enlighten me, but then I can't enlighten you. So let's enlighten one another, all right? And any of you who've been listening for a period of time know my heart. And one of the things that has blessed me, I hope you know my heart anyway, one of the things that's blessed me over the years is a lot of people listen on radio and they've never seen me on TV and they've never gone to my website or somehow they haven't seen my articles with my picture, whatever it is. And it's happened to me quite a few times where I've gone out to speak and an African-American listener has come up to me and said, I didn't know you were white. So somehow just the issues, the way I presented them and the sound of my voice, whatever, gave them a certain impression. But what blessed me so much was that we've walked through a lot of really controversial issues on this show. And I've taken stands that are going to be controversial to some. And yet I was perceived as being a Black American. In other words, that much in harmony with or sympathy with certain concerns or issues. As much as I take strong issue with President Obama, as much as I'll take an issue with the method used by Colin Kaepernick, etc. So that means a lot to me. But I keep being willing to be challenged on a daily basis. I hope you do as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Over to Franklin, Maryland. Michael, welcome to the line of fire.
Are you talking to me from Franklin?
If you are Michael in Franklin, you are the man. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Michael Brown. We've had past discussions. Let's make it reasonable this time, please. I will do my best. At first I wanted to talk about that football player, but now I changed my mind since I heard you talk. I'd like to speak about the house, about corrections, period, especially for Blacks. I'm writing a book down in progress, being going to be called Changing an Oppressive System. And basically, what my research showed me was that from World War II until the 70s, justice system was concentrating on corrections, reforming people. Now the conservative movement is about, you know, punish and get tough on crime. Well, until the 70s, we had an average of 110 prisoners per 100,000. But as soon as we passed around 1972, 1973, it went up multiplied over five times until about 2007 or so. It multiplied in percentage times over 500% percentage amount over how many they used to be. It is funny that's around when the civil rights movement ended or was concluded, when they had got their rights back to them, that the Blacks were basically be incarcerated totally five times as many times as before. And as soon as they got their rights, now they're put away and blocked in prison.
Hey, quick question. I want to come back to you so you can continue this. Have you read, I'm assuming, Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow?
No, I have not, sir. Tell me about it, please.
Okay, well, that's, she very, very strongly argues that it's the prison system that is the new Jim Crow in America. It was a very, very controversial book, tremendously well-selling book. And I haven't finished it, but I started it. It raises a lot of similar issues and questions. Now, some have challenged the accuracy of various points, which I think is fair, but it points to the massive numbers of Black Americans in the prison system and questions how this is happening and why. So stay right there. We'll be right back to you.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. So Michelle Alexander, in her new Jim Crow book, believes that the war on drugs, the war on specifically was introduced, and it was a way to get ultimately more black Americans in prison. And it struck there with a certain inequality, and suddenly minor offenses became major offenses, etc. And not only so, now someone said, wait a second. If you go and study this historically, there were black leaders in the other cities calling for the war on drugs and pleading for upping of standards and saying it was destroying their communities. Nonetheless, there are major issues that are raised that need to be addressed. So, yeah, Michael, just back to you for one more word. So what do you believe? Do you believe there's something intentional going on, sir?
Sir, the CIA introduced drugs to this country. Our soldiers guard the poppy fields in Afghanistan and Pakistan. We basically, the war is not on drugs. The war is using drugs against our citizens. That is the real war. And that is why, and every population, black, white, Hispanic, they all basically use the same percentage use drugs. How come is it 3 to 4 times as many blacks are arrested and 10 times as many blacks are in jail for drugs? That's a reason for it all. And there's much more behind this. Why is that once you've committed a felony, and whether or not you're guilty, usually you're not. I've been in jail myself and been totally innocent. And there's a jail, everybody was jail mentality. We are the better ones in jail because we haven't fallen for the capitalist system, which is basically all about making money over humanism and about, controlling other people and about money and power and all that. We're the ones who basically put in jail for no reason and incarcerated against our will. We're victims and better than the police who basically are used as tools of the powerful to enforce laws, to enforce the beneficial for the rich.
Right. So you feel, in short, that this is being done intentionally to keep black Americans down, that America's finding another way to do it. Hey, you're not the only one who feels that way. You're not the only one who feels that way. Where there is injustice, we address it. And where it's a figment of our imagination, we address that. Where it's somewhere in between, we address that. NBC analyst, retired NFL player Rodney Harrison said this: if you think sitting during the national anthem, a lot of people really served before his time, now trying to give him the freedoms and the liberties that he had. And I tell you this, I'm a black man, and he's not black because he's mixed parent, right? He cannot understand what I face and what other young black men and black people face or people of color face on an every single day basis. So that's interesting. Another perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. Mitchell in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
You're welcome. You talked about a lot. I think your initial issue was the football player who did not stand for the national anthem.
Yeah, and I was tying that into, even before that, tying that into our relationship to America as believers. You know, are God and country one and the same as far as allegiance? Is the American flag something that should be venerated by Christians? Do we have dual loyalties, you know, to the kingdom of God and to our nation? And it was in that context that we returned to Colin Kaepernick. But anyhow, just for our listeners just tuning in. So back to you.
I hope that's a rhetorical question for someone like you, because God and country are not the same. And I think any Christian that's read the Bible should know that. But with regards to this gentleman, I think that he has every right to protest by not saluting the flag or standing during the national anthem. And I think that athletes should be encouraged to protest in that form, because it's athletes and entertainers. Those are the only people that the white and Jewish media will listen to. They make money off of them, and so they're concerned about their behavior. There are people who are fighting racism in the trenches on a daily basis who are not recognized, who are not listened to, whose opinions and whose research and work isn't given any type of reception, because they don't care.
Listen to by whom? But who's they? Who's they?
What do you mean, who's they?
When you say they won't listen, who's they?
I just said the white and Jewish media, the powers that be.
Oh, the white and Jewish media. Ah.
People who control the system. That's right.
Ah,
now
so the same media.
Issue.
So the same media that blasts Israel in ugly terms, that misreports things that give more favor to Islam, that's the Jewish-controlled media, I guess, shooting itself in the foot?
No.
Is that it?
No. The Jewish-controlled media is engaged in a game of manipulation and exploitation.
Ah.
Israel is not blasted. Israel, people believe that Israel have the right to murder and kill Palestinian children.
Who told you that? Who told you that, sir?
That's on the news on a regular basis.
Who told you that Israel has... Whoa. Here's my problem, Mitchell. You disqualify yourself. Every word you just said up to now, intelligent thinking listeners are now saying, what's this guy talking about? You just shot yourself in the foot. I have no problem with you agreeing with Colin Kaepernick. I disagree with him. I am 100% for athletes speaking out. I am 100% for athletes being role models. I am 100% for athletes doing things that are unpopular because they have a conviction. Go for it. And for better or worse, be benefited by it or suffer the consequences. But when you come out and spout out and out lies, no media, no major media is reporting that Israel has the right to kill Palestinian women and children. Israel has the right to defend itself, sir. Israel has the right to defend itself. Israel carries out warfare more carefully than any nation in recorded warfare history. Israel loses soldiers on a regular basis because of the guidelines by which it must engage itself. I've talked to the soldiers. I've talked to the parents. Are you aware that if you're an Israeli soldier, you can't even leave base without your ID card and your ethics card? You must always have your ethics card as to how you are to conduct yourself as an Israeli soldier. And when they begin training by talking about ethics. Are you aware of that? And I'm going to let you talk in a minute, but as much as you were talking over me, it's not going to happen. So I'm going to let you talk again in a minute. But in the war in Gaza, Israel was fighting Hamas terrorists. This is a recognized terrorist group that is destroying Gaza. Israel took out terrorists. Unfortunately, as in every war, there were civilian casualties. Israel avoids them strenuously, and no media, no respectable media, be it liberal or conservative, says that Israel has the right to kill Palestinian women and children, but Israel has the right to defend itself, which it seems to do. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm glad to stand with you for racial justice in America, but I'm not going to stand with myths and fables. So I guess the question is, am I part of the Jewish...
To treat black people any kind of way.
What are you talking about, to treat black people any kind of way?
I said it is the Jewish media that says it is okay to treat black people any kind of way.
Give me an example. Who's the Jewish media? Am I the Jewish media? I'm Jewish. Am I the Jewish media?
I would say probably 90% of the media in this country is somehow controlled or owned by Jews. Everybody knows.
No, it's owned by black masons, sir. It's owned by black masons from Mars. Ah, okay. What I just said is as crazy as what you're saying. I'm trying to wake you up to reality.
Okay.
I'm trying to wake you up to reality. Give me an example of Jewish-controlled media that says blacks can be treated in any way. Sir, you can't. If you're going to have a conversation with me, you're going to have to honor the fact that I have the mic here. Okay, I'm trying to let you talk. All right, I'm trying to let you talk. Give me one example of major media, allegedly Jewish-controlled, that says you can treat blacks any way you want. Give me a quote from CNN, from NBC, from CNN.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't consider a quote from CNN to necessarily be factual information, okay?
No. Give me an example. Give me an example.
All of the media, they can exploit and manipulate the media.
Give me an example.
That's part of the problem.
Give me one, Mitchell. Give me one example. Tell you what. I'll give you one last shot. I'm being patient with you, buddy. I'll give you one last shot. Give me one example of ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, any. Give me one example of major media saying you can treat blacks any way you want. Just give me one example.
Voice.
Give me one example.
To speak out and protest. All right?
Give me one example.
And that's all I have to say.
Give me one example of the major. All right. Well, tell you what, friends. Trust me on this. Mitchell spoke for Mitchell. He does not. If you have a cause and you're standing for a cause, and Mitchell's identified with your cause, he disqualified himself. He doesn't disqualify you. All right. So just want to say that when you have someone that bigoted, that biased, that misinformed, they disqualify themselves. That's it. They don't disqualify anybody else. So you can call and say, hey, I think what Colin Kaepernick did was right, and you have nothing to do with Mitchell, all right? Unless you're going to put out the same nonsense. All right, we'll be right back with your calls.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, check out my latest video. It's on a little different note, but it asks the question, at what point do we brand something heresy? You can also watch a recent video where I ask the question, are Christians trying to take over America? Which is very much relevant to what we're talking about, what our attitude should be towards our country. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to watch latest videos and read the latest articles. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Norice in Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for your hard work. God bless you.
You're very welcome, Norice.
I want to make a point in this guy, the 49er player.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize this is a spiritual battle. And this guy had a privilege to be adopted by believers in Christ and raised by believers in Christ. He even have tattoos with the scriptures on his body. So now he met this girl. To me, this girl is like Delilah and Samson. Mm. And he lay on Delilah's lap. And now he succumbed to all this, turning into a religion that follows Satan, not God. So he's in a backsliding condition. And according to the Word of God, when a person turned their back on God, just like the prodigal son, we turn worse. And this guy is even falling apart in his career as a football player. They are considering let him go.
Right.
So he is in the downfall, and I pray for him because he needs to come back to the Lord. But he wants attention, and he going the wrong way because he's leaning in his own understanding. He's not leaning in the understanding of the Word of God anymore.
Yeah, Norice, I appreciate first you coming at it with a compassionate viewpoint, saying, hey, he's a soul and he needs our prayer. And yeah, and I don't know what his relationship with the Lord was, but yes, he did have a scripture verse tattooed on him, you know, believing that God was, you know, his strength and so on. And okay. he was raised in a loving adoptive home. And if it is true that he is engaged to this woman who's a strong Black Lives Matter leader, then yeah, it's what's influencing him. What's radicalizing him? It's interesting that an earlier coach that he played under said that he was totally shocked by this. This was not the guy that he knew. And he also said that it was a wrong way to do this because you, rather than drawing attention to your cause, you draw attention to the way that you did the thing, which then puts the attention in the wrong place. But yeah, for sure, he's a soul loved by the Lord. And if it's true, again, there's things saying it's not true, so I don't know factually, if he did convert to Islam, if he did send out Ramadan greetings on Instagram, as was reported, was that bogus or real, then there are larger spiritual things going on. And again, the issue is not, does he have the right to continue to discuss racial injustice in America? No problem. More power to you. And do it in a constructive way. Also do it recognizing your place of privilege. I mean, could you imagine a contract for X number of years for $100 million. How about for $1 million? You know, most of us can't even imagine anything like that. So, yeah, valid points. But thank you. Thank you for focusing on the spiritual end and on his own soul. Let's pray that the Lord would really get hold of him and radically save him or radically bring him back to a faith if he once walked in it. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Barbara in Oahu, Hawaii. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good morning, Dr.
Yes.
Brown.
Hey, how
Good
you doing?
Morning. Wonderful. It's always a blessing for me to speak with you and always a blessing for me to listen to you each and every day. I miss you on the weekends, though. But anyway.
All right. Well, thank you. But...
Yeah, the last time I called you, I was calling from Baja, California, Mexico. Now I'm back in my home in Oahu. I have been listening to your show since 2009. At that time, I was walking through a chemo valley with after going through breast cancer. So I went through that for about 7 years. And after that, I went through some more cancer, you know, with colon cancer. And through all of that, the last 10 years, I have been in a valley, a deep, dark valley. The light of Christ, only the light of Christ, Dr. Brown, and listening to you each and every day allowed me to walk through that valley. As he said in his 23rd Psalm, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Anyway, I say all that to say this. I came out of that chemo fog. I came out of that coma in January 2015. And do you know, I thought that I was back in the 60s again. I thought I graduated from high school in 1966. And all the things that are going on when it comes to race in our country today, I thought I was having, what do they call it?
Flashback.
Not only a flashback, but it's like every day, you listen to the news, I'm thinking, how can this be? How can this be? We have come so far. I am an African-American female from Richmond, Virginia, born and raised up in Virginia in the 60s. So I think I have a feeling about what went on when it comes to blacks in this country. Oh, let's talk about being black. Oh, and a female too? I am 30-year Navy retired officer, but I'm a Mustang because I went into the military as an enlisted. So here you have a black female, okay, with a high school education, raised in the 60s, who managed to, at the end of her life, 68, and I tell you, I believe in that rule for baseball. Three strikes, you're out. I've had two strikes. But until then, until God calls me home, I'm trying to understand. What are we doing? How can it possibly be that after 7.5 years, we have had a black leader, but our country has gone in the opposite direction when it comes to race? Please help me understand, Doc, because it breaks my heart.
Yeah, let me say this, Barbara. Yeah, first, God bless you for your courage and your heart. And thank you for the incredibly kind words. That's deeply meaningful to me to know that we've stood with you through thick and thin and helped you come out on the other side of this trial.
Oh, yes, you have.
Yeah,
yes,
well, that's a privilege and honor, dear sister. Let me just say this, and I've got just a few seconds before the break. I believe, unfortunately, that our president and some of his administration have been guilty of race baiting in certain ways or been guilty of siding with issues prematurely or unfairly, which rather than rallying us around the very real issues that we should address, more deeply divided us. Again, there are real issues we must still address, no question, but I believe it was done in a destructive rather than a constructive way. With that, I've got to run, but may the blessing of the Lord be yours. My bottom line today, we can pull each other down, destroy each other, or work together for a better nation. God and country, do they always go hand in hand? Kingdom of God allegiance, patriotic allegiance? How do we work these things out?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hands a big, beautiful Bible, the NIV Cultural Backgrounds Study Bible. I'm holding it in my hands, and I have it open to Romans chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. If you want to be free from fear of the one in authority, then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to govern and give to everyone which you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is Michael Round. Did I mispronounce my own name? Did I say Round rather than Brown? Could that happen? And a simple name like that? Yeah. Oh, come on. Yup, instantly. That's the feedback I get from my team. All right. This is Michael Brown. There you go. Pronounce carefully, articulately, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Here we are. I'll slow down a moment. Reading from the words of Paul, as he talks about our relationship to government, and we can honor authority, honor our government, and be loyal patriots, but our highest allegiance is to the kingdom of God. And when the two come in conflict, we say we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. That is our great focus. That is our priority. And if we find ourselves in conflict, we are not America bashers. We don't burn the flag, because that would be contrary to the Romans 13 attitude. Instead, we, with respect for our government, if I take issue with President Obama, or before that with President Bush, with respect for our leadership, honoring their authority, as those whose ultimate loyalty is to God, we say, I love my country, I pray for my country, but I cannot agree with this. I love my country and I pray for my country, but I am ashamed of this. And there are right and wrong ways to do things, but ultimately, we are dual citizens. We are citizens of a heavenly kingdom and of this earthly nation, whatever nation we live in. And therefore, it is different than if you lived in ancient Israel. And that nation being a theocracy meant you could be 100% loyal to God and your country. Here, that may not always work in the same way. However, here is the same thing. To the extent Israel turned to God, Israel was blessed. To the extent America turns to God, America is blessed. And that role is constant. We as God's people should be helping turn our country towards God rather than away from God. All right, got some questions for you to weigh in on, a lot to discuss today. 866-348-7884. If you wanted to weigh in on the Colin Kaepernick controversy yesterday and didn't get an opportunity to, phone lines are open. We had some lively discussion last hour. 866-348-7884.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me read to you what Professor Craig Keener, in his study notes here in the Cultural Backgrounds Study Bible. He's the New Testament editor, John Walton, the Old Testament editor. If I had to pick two people in the world, one to edit the Old Testament, one the New for cultural background, those are the men I would have picked. So Craig Keener says this on Romans 13:7, and he's got notes on basically every verse in this chapter just about, where it says, Paul says, if you owe someone honor or the government honor, then honor. He said, both custom and prudence demanded honoring officials and others of higher social rank. Jews refused to sacrifice to the emperor, but the temple honored him with prayers and sacrifices to God on his behalf, the Jewish temple. Suspending such offerings in the temple roughly a decade later quickly led to war against Rome, and he cites Josephus and Wars, Volume 2, 409. So, again, just interesting there, the tension of where do you go with honoring the emperor? Where do you go with honoring authority? What if the emperor is viewed as a god and you're supposed to sacrifice to him? Well, you won't do that. Can you offer sacrifices on his behalf, praying for him? Yes, but what if that is perceived as a sacrifice to him? Do you then need to stop it? These are real questions that come up. Now, I've got a bunch of things I want to discuss with you, but I was going to slightly change gear. It's partially changing gear. As we talk about our allegiance to God, along with our allegiance to America, our allegiance to God versus our allegiance to America, or perhaps we could say we are totally devoted to what is best for our country. As children of God, we are wholeheartedly and totally devoted to what is best for our country. In that sense, we are good citizens. In that sense, we are the best citizens because we want what is best for America. But often that means challenging the status quo. Often that means going against what is politically correct or the prevailing view. Will we do that? I hope we will. I hope we will. But as kids are going back to school, basically kids around America are back in school now, maybe in a few places still another few days before they go back. But as kids are back in school, firstliberty.org gives us 25 surprising facts about religious rights in public schools. Here's another question where the intersection of liberty and patriotism comes into play, or the question of separation of church and state, a widely misused phrase and concept, how that comes into play. These things obviously are all interrelated. So here are 25 surprising facts about religious rights in public schools. Parents, are you listening? Hey, kids, mom, dad, maybe just picked you up from school, and this is your daily routine to listen to The Line of Fire. Well, a shout out to all of you. I hope you had a good day. If you had a rough day, I hope you have time to recover tonight before you go back to school tomorrow. I know for some you're in real challenging environments. So parents, kids listening, educators listening, from firstliberty.org, here are 25 surprising facts about religious rights in public schools. One, students and educators do have First Amendment religious rights inside public schools. So you still have your freedom of speech and freedom of religion inside public schools. Students can speak about their faith even when their teachers must be neutral. So if something is coming up and maybe there's a discussion about Islamic terrorism, and does that represent true Islam? And someone says, well, what about the Crusades and Christianity? You have the right to speak freely. You have the right to speak freely about your own faith, even if the teacher has to remain neutral. Schools cannot treat religious activity differently than any other activity. So if students are allowed to, say, congregate outside, maybe in playground area around the school, they can get in a circle and talk. Well, then get in a circle and pray. It's perfectly legal, perfectly fine for them to do that. If there is a group that meets, hey, we want to have a special group. We're into building rockets, and we want to have a rocket building group. Great. Hey, we love riding horses. We want to have an equestrian group. Great. Hey, we're really into the word. We're really into the word. We want to have a Bible study group. Great. Whatever the rules are for one, if you need a faculty sponsor and then a room, whatever applies to the one has to apply to the other. Four, students can pray during lunch, recess, or other designated free time. Five, students can pray silently during the school's moment of silence. Six, students can read the Bible or other religious materials at school. A teacher has no right to tell the student you can't bring your Bible to school, you can't read the Bible at school. Now, if the kid is reading the Bible during another class, the teacher can tell him you can't do that, just like tell him don't read a comic book in another class or don't read a textbook for another class in this class. Same things would apply. Seven, students can share their faith with fellow students during free times when they could discuss other topics like the movie they just saw or their weekend plans. Eight, schools can acknowledge religion. And what exactly does that mean? I have to find out from them. Nine, students can pray either individually as a group at school athletic competitions, student assemblies, or other extracurricular activities when school officials are not involved. So if the football team says, hey, let's pray for protection, you know, that nobody will get injured or hurt, great. If the cheerleaders say, hey, let's really shine, hopefully they're dressed modestly, hey, let's really shine, let's really pray that the Lord will bless the game, it's great. They can do that. Yep, the students can do that. Students can pray at graduation ceremonies or include religious content in their speeches. 12, a public school can refer to Christmas and have a Christmas party if the intent is not to advance Christianity. 13, a public school can display Christmas decorations if the intent is to teach and not part of a religious exercise. 14, a public school can include religious music, art, or drama in a school play or performance if it is used to teach history or cultural heritage and not advance a particular religion. 15, students can give out Christmas gifts with religious messages at school parties because they're students. They're free to do that. 16, students can incorporate their faith or religion in classroom and homework assignments so long as the work meets the requirements of the assignment. 17, a public school district cannot be hostile towards religious beliefs. Ooh, can I read that one again? This is all at firstliberty.org. 25 surprising facts about religious liberties in public schools. 17 on the list. A public school cannot be hostile toward religious beliefs. Wow. 18. Teachers and other public schools employees can discuss religion with students as cultural and historical education or when asked by the students. 19. Teachers and other public school employees can discuss religion with other teachers or other school employees. So look at that. When they're asked by the students, they can discuss religion as cultural and historical education. And among themselves, they can discuss religion with other teachers or other school employees. Is that saying that if you ask a teacher, hey, what do you believe personally off campus, they can't tell you? I don't think it means that. A public school or a teacher cannot limit religious speech by students unless they limit other speech. Mm-hmm. What's good for one is going to be good for the other. 21. If students can have a secular extracurricular club, then students can have a religious club at their school. I included that in an earlier point. 22. Religious student groups can meet on campus whenever other non-curricular clubs can meet. You've got a chess club that meets here. You've got a advanced computer programmers club that meets here. You've got a fantasy football club that meets here. You've got a Bible study club that meets here. You can do it. And by the way, you can have a study of the Quran club. Just by the way. Let's see. Religious clubs can use the same school resources available to non-religious club. For example, school facilities, bulletin boards, public address system to promote a public address system to promote or facilitate club events. 24, in most cases, teachers or other public school employees may attend a religious students group meeting in a supervisory role. 25, members of religious student clubs can distribute flyers about meetings and events just like non-religious clubs. Important to remember that. And You can actually download. I just read the list, and I said, one, I needed clarification on. Well, the clarification is all here. You can actually download a free booklet, Religious Liberty Protection Kit for Students and Teachers, at the firstliberty.org website. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Yeah, I'm going to go here next. Clemson University. Oh, you got to hear this. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, are you ready for this? 866-348-7884. Clemson University, you ready for this? Campus Reform is pointing this out. Clemson University Administrator Sean Jones demanded that a local man who was praying with students leave campus last Thursday because he was not in a designated, quote, free speech zone. So on campus, you have free speech zones, and presumably much of the campus is not a free speech zone. Shouldn't the whole campus be free speech zone? Shouldn't every classroom, every grassy knoll, every administrative building, shouldn't the whole campus, every street that you walk up and down, shouldn't those be free speech zones? It's one thing if you break the law, say that if the speech is prohibited by law, then you don't engage on it in the campus. But shouldn't the whole campus be a free speech zone? Am I missing something here? What if he was just going blah, 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 and he was not in the free speech zone? What if he was saying, I do not like Donald Trump, and he was not in a free speech zone? What if he was talking to other students who were asking him about Islam, and he was not in the free speech zone? Would he have been ordered to leave? Clemson maintains that university policy requires non-students to pre-register on campus activities outside of designated areas, but students protest that the entire campus should be open to free speech. Yeah, I could see if you have people coming onto campus in ways that are disruptive. I could see that, and you have to monitor that, but this is crazy, is it not? By the way, University of Chicago has gotten a little bit of pushback because they have said no safe zones, and you know, well, you won't get your feelings hurt over here. No, enough with this stuff. You get challenged on campus. You have your views challenged. You have your thought process challenged. Yeah, that's part of what happens on campus. Now, while we're on campus, we're going from children's schools to campuses. So also on campus reform, how about this? Are you ready? Are you ready, friends? Amber Athey reports, and this was just today, campusreform.org. Oh, you ought to visit there regularly. You'll have your eyes opened. You will really have your eyes open. A Vermont college is handing out pronoun pins to incoming freshmen. Of course, freshman is the term used by campus reform because you don't want to call it freshman, right? Yeah, fresh people, not freshmen. Of course, because that's, man, you got the man word in there. Remember, Princeton University, Human Resources, we've got a video up on that. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Digital Library to watch it. Yeah, Princeton University, they want to ban the M word, man, as in man-made. Oh, yeah, seriously. Man can't say man-made. It's artificial. How about man hours? Ooh, no. Not man hours. Person hours. And on it goes. As I wrote about that in an article, not only can't you say man, oh, man, you have to say maybe person, oh, person, or individual, oh, individual. And you can't say, come on, man up. No. Maybe human up. No, that has the man word too. Ooh, that's not good. Individual up. That's it. Come on. You need to individual up. But the mafia, if it spreads from Princeton beyond, the mafia will have to hire a hit individual. Yeah, because you can't have a hit man. And on it goes with the cultural insanity. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. In an effort to become more inclusive for gender nonconforming students, Champlain College handed out hundreds of pronoun pins during first year orientation, advertising the wearer's preferred gender pronouns. Options included she, her, he, him, and how do you pronounce X-E-X-E-R? X-E-X-E-R? Why pick such a difficult one? Why not go with some of the easier? And even, hello, my pronouns are fluid. Please ask me. Yeah. So you could wear that pin. You could wear that pin. Gosh. God help these confused young people. And one thing for young people to be confused, but for a whole college to be confused, for the administrators to be confused, for the faculty to be confused, for everyone that goes along with this. This is nonsense. According to the Burlington Free Press, the pins were created by the official Residential Life, which expressed a desire to accommodate students in the LGBT community. Now, on another note, if I have time tonight after teaching night school teaching or School of Ministry, Fire School of Ministry, or first-year students tonight, if I have time tonight, I want to write an article on separating the value of Black Lives from the Black Lives Matter movement. And as someone pointed out to us, one of our listeners pointed out, thank you so much for doing so, pointed out earlier today, this was passed on to me, if you go to blacklivesmatter.com, guiding principles, and click on Black Villages, it starts by saying we're committed to disrupting the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement. It goes on from what it means. You can have extended families in villages that collectively care for one another. That's in the Black Lives Matter movement. But hang on, you know what's also in there? Queer affirming. The Black Lives Matter movement under principles says it is queer affirming. That's part of Black Lives Matter. That's why you got to separate the value of Black Lives from the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not only queer affirming. It's also transgender affirming. So queer doesn't include transgender. No, you now need something else. We're committed to embracing and making space for trans brothers and sisters to participate, lead. We're committed to being self-reflexive and doing the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege, that means heterosexual, and uplift Black trans folks, especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. Yes, yeah, so this is some of the radicalism that I oppose. This is some of the misguided, ultimately antisocial, anti-family, anti-cohesive society radicalism that I oppose, and try to separate these radical causes from the educational system, from the justice movement, from the value of other lives. Because this is the very type of stuff that is so foolish, so destructive. It's one thing to say we are going to protect everybody, no matter who they are. If they're people of color, we're standing with them. Now you start to say, well, we're queer affirming, we're transgender affirming. And now if you're part of Black Lives Matter, you also want to destroy the Western nuclear family. Disrupt it, I should say. Boy, oh boy.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line of fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. I've been talking about the difference between just having allegiance to our country as Americans and having allegiance to our country as believers. So we honor our country, we appreciate our country, we work for the good of our country, but we are God-fearing people first. We are citizens of the heavenly kingdom first, and then secondarily citizens of this earthly kingdom. Some political leaders recently said they are Christian first and conservative second. That's not disloyal. That's what our attitude should be. That is the right attitude. And Paul in Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire. And in a couple of minutes, I want to talk with my friend Reverend James Robison about being kind to each other in the midst of our passionate differences, even political differences and things like that. So I'll be speaking with James Robison in just a few minutes. But let me read to you what Craig Keener says in the Cultural Background Study Bible. Remember, you can order this from our website, from the Ask Dr. Brown website this week. When you do, you'll get a beautiful 2,350-page, amazingly packed study Bible that gives you the cultural background to passage after passage and verse after verse with beautiful charts and images. And it's just amazingly well done. I was thoroughly impressed with it when it came out. So much so that after I had Craig Keener on with me last week, I said, tell you what, Craig, let's record what you had to say. Well, of course, record. Let's offer it along with this Bible. So you can get my exclusive two-hour interview with Professor Craig Keener, the New Testament editor for the Study Bible, along with the Study Bible. When you're ordered through our website, you'll be helping us with this radio broadcast, getting the Bible. It's a great early holiday present as well. So Philippians 3:20, Craig Keener says this in the study notes. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Philippians understood what it meant to be citizens of a place they had never yet visited. Because Philippi was a Roman colony, its citizens were legally citizens of Rome with all the privileges that came from that status. Although the Philippian church included resident aliens, such as Lydia from Thyatira in Acts 16:14, many of its influential members were likely citizens, perhaps Clement in Philippians 4:3. Philosophers sometimes declared themselves citizens of the world rather than any mere city-state. So what he's saying is that the Philippians knew that they were Roman citizens, even if they hadn't been to Rome. Paul's saying, hey, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. So here's what I want to take up. We come back after the break with my friend and colleague, Reverend James Robison. We are not just conservatives because as Americans we're part of the conservative movement. We are conservatives because of our biblical foundations. In other words, it's not just gods and God and guns and God and country, and it's all one and the same. Rather, we are moral conservatives because we believe in the values of Scripture. We hold to certain economic viewpoints because we see those laid out in scriptural principles. The problem is, it's so easy to get caught up in partisan politics. It's so easy to get caught up in the crossfire where even believers are shooting at one another. And we even treat those we differ with, say President Obama or candidate Hillary Clinton, in ways that are unchristlike. So how do we put our faith first and then live that out with kindness and grace towards those we differ with? I'm not a right-wing conservative talk radio host, even though I may agree with certain things that other talk radio hosts or conservatives agree with. I am a follower of Jesus, airing these biblical issues on the radio. We'll be right back.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We've been talking through issues of our allegiance to God, our allegiance to our country. How do we view the American flag? What are righteous things for us to do and not do? But what we do ultimately, we do as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, living here in this world, and knowing that as we advocate for God's ways in this world, it is for the best interest of our country. So I want to pursue this with my dear friend and colleague, James Robinson. And James, you know all too well, having been involved in this longer than me, how easy it is to get caught up in partisan politics and either compromise our testimony or have an unchristian attitude, and we get so righteous that we bash others. How, sir, do we keep Jesus and his principles first and foremost in all that we do?
Well, I think it would be very important for all of us to recognize that if we're going to, you know, even love our enemies, and we're supposed to love our neighbor, which is the second of the two great commandments, and Paul even said in fulfilling that, herein is all the law fulfilled in a word. There's something about this father love, this God love, unconditional love that just needs to flow. And we don't even seem, as professing Christians oftentimes, to flow very much of that love toward other professing Christians. I'm amazed and shocked, stunned, horrified at how quickly professing Christians can begin to attack one another just if they have even a disagreement in a discussion. Let's just take right now. We are facing the most serious election in my 72 in about a month or so, 73 years on earth. And I've been through some pretty rough ones, and I've been through some I consider miraculous. I think 1980 we experienced a miracle. I really do believe that. I don't think the miracle played out as fully as it could, because the person leading, Mr. Reagan, was been affected by the Republican establishment, or I call the Republican Guard, and he won't continue to receive the wise counsel that his heart actually longed for and that he always responded positively to. So here we are now in a situation that is just indescribably, unexpected, especially the choices that we have. And here's the situation. Even people who say to Christians, okay, you don't have a perfect person, but we never have had. Why are so many of you now so angry and so frustrated that you get angry at another person who might try to find a reason to find some kind of hope? For instance, many of the platforms in the Democratic platform should be, or of their plank, should be totally unacceptable to any serious Christian. I mean, you don't keep destroying innocent life. You wrote a tremendous article about that. You do not support an ever-consuming federal government that consumes the resources of the people and creates an entitlement society, and pretty soon the people in bondage will be as Israel, trying to make bricks without straw. In other words, we won't even have the wherewithal to be productive and effective anymore because we've been dominated by statism. And then you also are being told that as a Christian, you've got to change your beliefs about abortion, and we can terminate a life all the way through 9 months, even for sexual gender preference. And that if you do not support that, then you can be threatened. I talked to Mark Green a couple of days ago. They're battled all the way to Hobby Lobby. I'm hoping to visit with him in another week or so in a meeting that you will be in. I'm going to ask him to actually take us on the journey with what happened with Hobby Lobby when they were being fined $1 million a day because they would not give pills to kill little babies in the womb. And that was their conviction. So here we've got a platform there. But now on the other side, you've got a candidate, the people that look at their past, and, you know, they might say, well, it even makes the Saul of Tarsus pale, and Saul in the Old Testament pale, and other the kings David talked to pale. But they don't seem to realize that these great men of God kept speaking the truth to these individuals if they opened the door. Sometimes it was as though God forced the door open. But they didn't stand outside the room discussing how bad the individual was. They went in with wise, loving counsel to try to benefit all the people that God loved. Today, do you realize I'm actually being scolded, Dr. Brown, because Mr. Trump has asked me to surround him with wise counselors, even economic counselors? I'm going to discuss immigration in about 2 hours with some of the greatest minds in the country to try to help them get a handle on something that Congress never does seem to be able to get a handle on. And I got news for you. It's not that tough to get a handle on it. If people created in the image of God, who love their neighbor, who want the best, will sit down at the table of reason and have the civil discussion that can lead us to a way out of despair and defeat. Immigration is a serious problem. The United States has contributed to the problem as much as the illegals have. We have enabled it. We have funded it. We have put it in welfare, so to speak. And now then, we're discussing, what do we do to protect our borders? We're inviting people in here, thousands at a time, you would never let in your home. You wouldn't let them in your subdivision. We don't know. We're bringing in so many that they are impacting the culture when everything in their culture and mindset is against everything that made America great. We have reached a point, Dr. Brown, of what appears to be total insanity. And Christians now are standing back, just like they did with Jesus. He hangs out with sinners. He's a wine bibber. He's with these wicked people. Mm-hmm. What's he doing in the house with a Pharisee and a prostitute at the same time? And they never shut up picking on one another. Let me say this to you. You're one of the most brilliant men I have ever known in my life. And I'm watching you every week that you live make the most incredibly bold, profound, transforming statements. But, sir, you are delivering those in love, even for the individual that you're correcting. Why can't Christians try a little of that? You and I are both two strong individuals, and yet God has given us a love and respect for one another where we not only listen to each other, we seek wisdom together in a spirit of love and compassion and genuine interest in all our neighbors. I'm just saying to Christians, quit finding a reason to argue, divide, and divorce and try to destroy the other person. Please, please, Christians, let's behave like the family our perfect Father is encouraging us to be. Please, Christians. Mm.
Yeah, I hear your appeal loud and clear, and thanks always for your very kind and gracious words, my dear brother. I was actually examining my heart, and I may be writing on this in the next few days. By the way, folks, have you been to the stream lately? I went there, as I'm there every day, and was blown away by the new look. I mean, the graphics and the clarity of it, amazing. So you're getting the latest news, and you're getting godly commentary on what's happening. And James Robinson, the pioneer publisher of this. So go to stream.org if you haven't been, and you'll stay there for a while once you're there. But I was actually convicted of, and I may ask the question to others, do we have the love of Christ for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama? Because it's so easy, you know, if you listen to, say, conservative news and maybe just conservative talk radio or TV, there's a certain level of bashing. There's a certain rhetoric that's acceptable and name calling and so on. And I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh many years ago when Bill Clinton was president. He used to refer to him as Slick Willie. And I thought, you know, I have real, real grave issues with many things with President Clinton, but I couldn't call him that because there's something unchristian about it. So we can have these attitudes that somehow we justify, because after all, we're right. We're right. We're right in our doctrine. We're right in this view, that view. And that somehow gives us the right to have unkind attitudes towards others. So I can completely oppose the policies of Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton and still have a burden to pray for them. And I know if Hillary Clinton opened the door to you, you'd be there tomorrow to talk to her.
No question about it. And the thing about it is, I open by talking about things that people and parties and candidates support that are simply totally 100% against really sound thinking and love for your fellow man and for the innocent and wanting to care for one another. And I pointed out the problem was the practice, the policy, and the principle that's being violated. I didn't even attack the people that seem to be promoting that. I said it's foolish for a candidate to tell us to get over it as Christians and, you know, just leave your faith. But we want to get in the door. Here's the problem. If they don't open the door, you can't go in. I mm-hmm. knock at the door. If any man opens, I will come in. I'll eat with you. I'll take whatever's on your shoulders. I'll have your burdens. But one of these days, I'm going to set a table before you because I'm coming in with love. That's how I go in. When Mr. Trump asked me to come in and speak truth to him, you don't have to wonder, Dr. Brown, what is James Robinson saying? I promise you with all my heart, I'm sowing the purest, most consistent with the Word of God, seeds of truth, transforming truth, faithfully, fearlessly, boldly. And I have to wait and see what kind of soil received those seed and see the fruit that it bears. And by the way, I said this before in your program. We may be looking at a very visible person right now who happens to be one of the candidates who may actually be similar to Simon Peter. He may not change in 12 months in the presence of Jesus in person. Look what condition he was in after 3 years, boasting about how strong he was. He denied Jesus three times in his hour of greatest need. So will we as Christians offer any patience to somebody else who did at least open the door? I mean, I was on a meeting on the phone, a conference call, with 30 of the most powerful Christian leaders in the country this week. As a matter of fact, I think it was yesterday, talking to Mr. Trump. I'm about to talk to one of his lead advisors about how we deal with immigration policy.
Yeah, let me just jump in, sir. If I could keep you on the other side of the break, I want you to talk immigration, and then I have one very specific Donald Trump-related question that you could help us with. If you can, stay over through the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Have you visited the stream lately? Stream.org, a beautiful new upgrade to the whole site. I'm super impressed. And I have the joy of working with the editors at the stream sometimes three, four, five times a week as I'm publishing articles, and they're giving me feedback, and we're sharpening things together. This is a great website to go to know what's happening in the news, but then to get godly perspective and wisdom on what's happening in the news. Some of the best thinkers out there, some folks you're familiar with, some you haven't heard of. So check it out, stream.org. James Robinson is the publisher of Stream. So James, two things, and thanks for a few extra minutes. You were talking about immigration moments before. Obviously, Donald Trump's making a major speech, tomorrow?
So, tomorrow night.
Yeah, so is it your understanding that he genuinely wants to hear from you and other faith leaders to get your perspective on this issue?
Well, I think he genuinely wants to, but I'd say as a faith leader and someone who's concerned about the issues we face, I think it's imperative that he listen. And therefore, I think we speak very boldly and firmly and with great compassion and yet conviction. So that's what we do. And for whatever reason, I have been invited in that door along with others I respect, like Sammy Rodriguez. He will be on the conversation. He oversees 41,000 Hispanic churches here in the United States. And he's seeing, amazingly, many of the Hispanics are now seeing the daylight about what's coming down. Here's the thing that I'm saying has to happen. If you don't get the one who employs these people who are really, let's say, dedicated and gifted and determined and trustworthy and capable of being productive and dependable, and they actually care about the right things and they respect us. You see, the people who pay them and employ them, and oftentimes terribly, they will get them papers that are illegal to try to make them look legal. In other words, the employer knows their value and so values them that they would be willing, I think, to pay fines to help you determine the right person. How would you even identify the people that you were going to deport if nobody can identify them accurately? And no one can knows them better than the people who love them so much because of the work they do and they value it so much, they're going to come to the table of reason. I'm just going to say this firmly and absolutely. We have helped create this problem. Now we're going to have to help solve it. And that means that the people who are employing them for the reasons, many times they can't get someone of another race to take that particular job and be dependable. They found people who are dependable. They found people who are reliable. They're going to be willing, if they had to pay a fine to keep good workers. They're going to be willing, if they had to send the people back to the border to get legal work permits and come in. In other words, we've got to sit down and find the people that really bring back, may have children here, may have been through the school systems. In our discussion that we're going to have today is we have literally created a welfare program to take care of these people who come in here for all the wrong reasons. They don't come in here to work. They come in to get the entitlement they've been taught can be available because we made it available. So if we will sit down at the table of reason, Dr. Brown, and literally hammer these things out, we can solve this problem. And we can have the best people here helping us and the employers that know their value standing up for them, even paying necessary penalties for it. And then we've got to secure the border and stop the nonsense. But we've got other borders other than our southern border that right now are allowing people to come into this country that are pledged to destroy everything any of us have ever believed is important, destroy this nation, destroy freedom, destroy our future, and we're bringing them in by the thousands. So it's time to really slam our fist on the table and say enough's enough, but also we're going to think this thing through and hammer it out at the table of reason. We're going to have wisdom, we're going to have conviction, we're going to have compassion, and we're going to do it right. And don't tell me people at the table of reason, especially those who will pray and seek wisdom and work together, don't tell me we can't solve the problem. We absolutely can, and we must.
Yeah. So, friends, pray for grace and favor as these leaders speak with Donald Trump, and pray for ears to hear God's wisdom, God's plan. So, last question, and we're almost out of time, so I've got to be real quick. You're getting attacked as if you were in the Ann Coulter camp of "In Trump We Trust." But what you're doing is completely different. Your trust is in God. You haven't endorsed and never will endorse a political candidate. So what we're simply trying to get Christians to understand is, how can they be upset with you speaking godly things into someone's life? And I'm sure in private, really calling him to get right with God. Where's the fault in that? I mean, it's completely different than this "In Trump We Trust," or "He's the man to change America." You're saying he's opened the door to you. How can you not go through it as a Christian leader? It's that simple, isn't it?
We trust the God that every person must learn to trust. And if you don't want to trust him, you better accept the laws, because if you repute the law of gravity or any other law, the consequences of that nonsense is going to bring you crashing down. If Mr. Trump gets up tomorrow night and says a bunch of things that are pure nonsense, you're going to hear me shouting it from the rooftops. Mr. Trump, go back to the table of reason. You're not listening to good, sound thinking.
Yep.
You think I haven't already said that to him in some areas where I know he wasn't listening to sound reason? And I have watched him do an about-face. Hey, listen, Christians, don't start calling someone weak when they do an about-face. God calls that repentance.
Yes.
When you get truth that transforms your mind, your heart, and your direction, you're making good correction. And if I understand the gospel right, we're supposed to preach transforming truth that causes people to change their direction for good reasons and the right reason. And Dr. Brown, right alongside of you, I'm going to be shouting truth from the housetops, but I'm going to shout it in love. It's for Hillary Clinton. It's for President Obama. It's for everyone in Congress and everyone in the Senate. And I'll guarantee you this. If we don't get Congress to the table of reason and quit their nonsense and passing a bunch of stuff on us that we got to pass it before we can see what's in it, stop the stinking nonsense. Am I making myself clear? That's for everybody. And for Christians, pray for the kind of miracle I'm talking about. Ears to hear, hearts to heed, hands to help.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And I trust you.
Excuse my zeal, Doc. Excuse my zeal. But as a 73-year-old grandfather and great-grandfather, I'm fed up with what I'm watching people do, and much of America is saying it. Let me just say about all the people there, when Trump says I'm going to change something, they're cheering him, and they may not know the Lord. I want you to know a lot of Americans are fed up with people talking about Jesus, and they don't live like Jesus, talking about biblical truth, and they don't believe biblical truth.
It's true.
It's time for us to begin to live like people of another kingdom and impact this kingdom right here, right now. Excuse my zeal, but I can't get over it. It's in my bones like a fire.
Yeah, well, let me say this. As a fellow fire breather, you'll never have to excuse for your zeal on this broadcast. I look forward to seeing you soon and talking with you soon. God bless you.
I love you, sir.
Love you too, man. Thank you. All right. That's the fire we need. Citizens of another kingdom impacting this kingdom. That's what we do. Check out my latest articles and latest videos. Go to thelineoffire.org and just look at them. They're there. Beautiful new website. We're thrilled with it. And you want to just search for something else? Just click on Digital Library. Boom, there you go. If I've spoken about it, it'll come up there. If we've got a video out on it, if we've got an article out, boom, you'll find it right there. And be sure to check out our special resource offer. As I'm holding it, pick it up here. Yeah, the beautiful, massive, incredibly thorough Cultural Backgrounds Study Bible that we're offering with an exclusive interview with Craig Keener for your standing with us on this broadcast. My bottom line today, zeal for the house of the Lord should consume us. Bring that zeal, turning America to God.